KQED.
The way farmers till the land in the Central Valley hasn't changed all that much since the 1930s. But as demand for resources like fuel and water grows tighter, a number of farmers are experimenting with more sustainable approaches. Alice Daniel has more on conservation agriculture from our Central Valley Bureau.
Jeffrey Mitchell is a cropping systems specialist at the UC Westside Research and Extension Center near the tiny town of Five Points an hour southwest of Fresno. His enthusiasm for conservation agriculture often translates to 16-hour workdays overseeing numerous demonstration fields.
What we did here is we deliberately planted a winter cover crop to enhance the period of the year at which we have residue over the soil surface.
Today he's working in a field of cotton that feels more like a blanket of heat on the land. He rotates the cotton with a winter cover crop of peas and fava beans to keep the soil consistently covered. That's one goal of conservation agriculture.
What we're looking at here is this is the residue that has accumulated now over the soil surface. And you can see that it's fairly dense here.
That residue enhances the biology of the soil and cools it. It also reduces water evaporation and even increases carbon in the soil.
So this water is just coming out right where the plant would be.
Mitchell checks an overhead irrigation unit that saves farmers water by applying it more precisely, another big part of conservation agriculture. Many valley farmers still use surface drip irrigation, but some are turning to more efficient subsurface and overhead delivery systems, even on tomatoes.
This is a drag hose, so this water is actually pressurized by a pump down there.
Drag hoses can be attached to the overhead pipes and dragged along the base of tomato plants to keep the actual fruit dry.
This is not easy to manage. The reason you have to worry about the type of irrigation you're using with tomatoes during the season is because tomato fruit are very susceptible to disease, and then they'll just rot, and you won't get any yield out of that at all.
These new ways of farming aren't straightforward, and the learning curve is high, Mitchell says. As he tells some UC Davis students visiting the center, sometimes he and other farmers find themselves asking the question,
what is happening out here? And all your built-up experience base and everything does, you know, flies out the window there.
Is the liner?
This is the mechanized sound of milk pulsing out of cows' udders at the Giacomazzi Dairy near Hanford. To make milk, cows need food, corn for instance.
You know, here we are in the middle of the corn, and if we're really quiet right now, maybe we can hear it grow.
Nope, turns out the corn is done growing.
Well, this corn's as tall as it's going to be now.
That's Dino Giacomazzi, a fourth-generation dairy farmer who, in the past 7 years, has dramatically changed the way he grows corn to feed his cows.
Once you see the tassels coming out on top, see the little top part, that's the tassel. This plant's about 13, 14 feet high. This is very typical of our crop under strip-till or under a conservation ag practice.
Strip tillage or reduced tillage is another aspect of conservation agriculture.
Primarily, it's in the number of tillage passes that we make in the field.
Passes cost money, says Giacomazzi. He has reduced the number of times he tills the soil from 14 to twice annually on this field, where he rotates corn with winter wheat. He's also reduced the dust. One recent study says reduced tillage passes can cut dust emissions by 80%. Giacomazzi says less tillage means more weeds. He gets around that by using corn that has been genetically altered to withstand the herbicide Roundup. But GMO crops are not essential to conservation agriculture. Back in his truck, Giacomazzi says farmers have historically had it easy in the valley. But fuel's pricey now, and water is harder to get. He's dedicated to helping other farmers stay ahead of the curve. But the number of farmers adopting these strategies is still small. Farmers like innovation, says Giacomazzi. It's risk they hate.
It's very difficult to make money farming, and you only really get one shot each year to make it. And farmers who are just growing crops get paid one day a year, you know, the one day that they harvest the crop. And if that doesn't work, then you're basically screwed.
This is a field of romas that will be picked week after next.
Steve Fortner is a tomato farmer with Sun Pacific who started experimenting with conservation agriculture on 2 acres in 2003.
And then the following year, I think we went from 2 to 1,600 acres. We felt like it was working.
He uses barley as a cover crop for his tomatoes, which he strip tills. That means he's only tilling the part of the soil where he plants the tomatoes, a 9-inch strip as opposed to tilling the entire row. He can keep the rest of the soil covered that way, but the practice gets complicated. With smaller rows, he needs smaller equipment.
So you have to build equipment that's small enough to get in there and not disrupt the biomass. You're constantly trying to figure out how to do the same job, but with smaller tools.
Jeffrey Mitchell, the UC cropping system specialist, says it's inevitable that farmers in the Central Valley will take up these sustainable practices in the next few decades in order to adapt to more limited resources. For the California Report, I'm Alice Daniel in the Central Valley.